Thank you. Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 6, the book of Luke, chapter number 6. And hope you'll come back tonight, Lord willing, be preaching on "And the Lord Remembered." You ever felt like He's forgotten? And sometimes in life, feels like He might have forgotten, but tonight we'll preach on "And the Lord Remembered." And of course, with you, there's a lot of things going on tonight, and we'll be mindful of the time and all that. That just means I'll know exactly what time it is. So, we'll be conscious of the fact there's a school and all going on. But I hope you'll be back tonight. But Luke chapter number 6, and we'll begin reading in verse number 47. Luke 6 and verse number 47. The Bible says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man which that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Dear Lord, thank you for all that you do for us. I pray now that you would be with Pastor Townsley in the service and help him to be an encouragement, a blessing to those folks down there. Lord, be with us here this morning, that you would take the Word of God and that you would work in hearts and that you would show us areas even perhaps where we need to change or grow and help us to respond to you. We thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Little children often sing a song that is built upon the illustration of this passage. It is also found in a parallel passage in the book of Matthew, chapter number 7, and we understand that this comes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and it really acts as a closing illustration that Jesus gives at the Sermon on the Mount, traditionally here. And it's not just based on tradition, but we always give an invitation at the end of the service. We'll do it today. And during that time, we stand and hear just how we do it here. We stand and we sing, and some folks feel prompted to come forward. They'll kneel down at the front and pray. Others will, in their seat, they will consider and contemplate. And we do that, and we do that on purpose. And that's because preaching, at its core and by its nature, is meant to bring people to a decision point, to an action point. And just like that, Jesus, at the Sermon on the Mount, he brought people to that point, and he brought them to a challenge point. And I'm for having an invitation. I mean, if you look at the end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter number 22, at the end of all of the Bible, you know what God does? He gives an invitation. It says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, come." That's an invitation. And so Jesus, at that action point of his message, if you will, he gave this illustration about that probably every kid in here, if you have been in Sunday school for any length of time, could sing the song to go with it. It's about the wise man and the foolish man. Now, how many of you, don't worry, no solos, we're not going to make you sing it, but how many of you know the song? How many of you could sing the song right now? There's hands all over the auditorium, and some from kids and some from folks that have ridden our buses and some from kids that have been in Sunday school and teachers that have taught it. And the song really does a good job of telling the story. It is about a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And that house is strong. And it's able to withstand a great storm. Then it tells us about a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the same thing happened. A storm came and the floods came. And the Bible says, the song says it this way, and there's all these illustrations that go with it if you remember it. And what does it do? There's enough kids in here that can help with it. The house on the sand went what? Splat. There we go. Just makes that great splat, you know, makes that noise. And The Bible described it here in Luke chapter 6 and verse 49. It says, and the ruin of that house was great. In other words, just to describe it, you could say the house on the sand went splat. I mean, it fits. And so that's the story, and that's the song story. And then the kind of the refrain of the song, the lesson of the song is this. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's kind of interesting. We sing that song, and our kids sing that song. And I get to work with kids and preach to them every now and then in chapels and things like that and around them. And I have used this passage before and talked about that song, which they all know. And it says at the end, and build your life on the Lord Jesus. So it's got this great lesson, build your life on the rock. Don't build your life on the sand. And then the analogy is made, so build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've asked them, okay, so how do you do that? Kind of like now, gets a little silent. You know, it's a great lesson, but you think about it for a child, it's a concept that you kind of have to attach to reality in some way. And if we're not careful, we can say the truth, even as adults. Yeah, build your life on Jesus. Yeah, build your life on Jesus. But what does that mean? I'm glad that Jesus didn't just leave it hanging out there in the theoretical. Jesus didn't just leave it as a concept. Jesus actually tells us exactly what it means to build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us right here exactly what he's talking about. It's very clear. It's very pointed. It's very specific of here is how you build your life on the rock versus building your life on the sand. And it's right there spelled out in verse number 47. He says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. In other words, the idea of building your life on the rock or building your life on the Lord Jesus Christ is not some sort of out there concept that we think about and philosophize about and theorize about. As a matter of fact, it's quite the opposite. Just like the rock, it's concrete and firm. He said, those who build their life on the rock are the people that come, that hear, and that obey my words, that do what I say. And he said, friend, if you do that, he's just given them maybe the greatest sermon that's ever been preached on the face of planet Earth. He's just delivered that. And he said, listen, if you do that, your life is going to be founded on something firm. I'm glad this morning that I can stand before you here and present to you something that is firm, not because it is from the theory of man, but because it is founded upon the Word of God. You know, Christians have, a Bible-believing Christian has something that is rock solid from which to build. So I want you to consider some simple thoughts out of this morning that go to us building our life on the rock that he speaks of. And just like the kids' song says, building our life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's make that practical from the Word of God this morning and figure out exactly what that means. First of all, if we're going to build our life on the Lord Jesus Christ, we must first of all receive His Word. We've got to receive it. He said here, there's a very kind of specific step process that he talks about in verse 47. He said, whosoever cometh to me and heareth and doeth. We first got to receive His Word. In the passage, the hearing, of course, comes first. We can't obey Him if we don't listen to Him. Anyone who refuses to hear will never benefit from what He says. You know, there's all sorts of people that go and hide, as it were. They go and hide, and they try to pretend. You ever, again, this isn't message just to kids, but there's a lot of lessons we can see illustrated in kids. When you were a kid, did you ever close your eyes? I did this. Draw your conclusions as you wish. But I, you know, where you close your eyes and go, you can't see me. I did that. There was a part of me, I remember doing it as a kid. For some reason, there was some weird reasoning in my mind. I thought that might be true. You know, you can't see me. Cover yourself up. You can't find me. You can't. Oh, you're right there. And you know, there's a lot of people that take that attitude towards what Jesus has to say. You know, if I ignore it, if I don't listen to it, if I don't pay attention to it, then it doesn't apply to me. Friend, listen, it applies to you whether you pay attention to it or not. You see, if we're going to build our lives on something solid, we must first receive His Word. But unfortunately, many people even refuse to even take the step of hearing it. Why? Well, maybe because of preconceived ideas. You know, I never was taught the Bible. I was taught something else. I was taught a more humanistic philosophy. I was taught, and we deal with people all the time and all over the place that are like that. There's no way I would ever listen to the Bible because they have some preconceived notion or preconceived idea about life. I remember one time, it's part of a university type outreach ministry on the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. And I talked to this young man, he was a freshman age, kind of maybe sophomore in college. I remember attaching the age of 19 to him. I think he must have told me that, because I think he was about 19 years old. So freshman or sophomore in college, and we go there and try to present to him the gospel, and he kind of ignored it. He was pleasant, he was polite, but he rebuffed any attempt to actually hear the Word of God. Why? Because he already had it all figured out. I remember thinking, and I still think back about how silly and foolish it was that a 19-year-old, and it wasn't based on anything. It was based on his own ideas and experiences. That he already had all of life figured out. I'm thinking, 19 years old, I was every bit of, you know, probably 22 years old, so it's not like I had a lot figured out either, or still do, but I had the, at least the concept to think, how silly at 19 years old to think that you have all of the truths of all time all figured out. And again, it wasn't like he said, all right, let me go to this text and I'll show you. I base it on this, or I base it on this philosopher. No, it was, listen, you know, I've heard a few things here. I pieced that together. I heard a few things there. I pieced together and I'm good. I don't need any of that. My friend, how foolish. That's what the foolish man does. He even might even refuse to listen. He might refuse to hear because he has some preconceived idea about how life works. And you know what's going to happen? As the kid's song says, that house is going to go splat. Might not hear because of the pressure of friends. There's a lot of negativity that abounds about what Christianity is. You know, it's painted off. You believe, if you go to a church or you read the Bible, you must be a bigot. You must be hateful. That's not true. We know that. But there's this pressure on people, especially our young people. Do you really believe that old-fashioned book? Do you really listen to those old truths? I mean, come on, this is 2020. This is a new era and a new, you know, a day, and we have changed and evolved as a society. And a lot of times that pressure becomes very real on people's lives, and so because of that, they just tune it out. There's no way I could ever hear the Word of God and even consider it. The answers I'll get are from the science class or from the history class or from the humanities class or whatever. I'll take that as my gospel. Friend, that's tragic because that house will go splat. They don't hear because of the pressure of friends. Some people don't hear just because of apathy. I don't care. You know, I really think that probably sums up most of our world. You know, most people don't really pretend to have it all figured out. Most people just don't really care to figure it out. Hey, I can pay my bills, and that's my goal, is to be able to pay them again next month. And you know what? My family is moving along. You know, sure, we've got our issues. Sure, you know, there's struggles, but we're moving along. People are healthy. You know, I'm doing everything I can, and it's like the circus performer with all the plates spinning on the stick, you know, and they're busy. They got that one spinning. They got to run over here and keep this one spinning and this one. And as long as all the plates are spinning, everything's good. And hey, whatever happens beyond this, you know, whatever, I'm fine with. And that sense of apathy creeps in and go, you know what? Whatever, I can't know. I don't care to know. Just I got to take care of life now. That's tragic, because the end of that is the house that goes splat. Could be because of fear. I don't want to listen. I've heard some things about Christians. I've heard some things about the Bible, and I could never. Listen, friend, there's nothing here but that which is solid and that which is helpful and that which will build a life, not ruin a life if it's followed. So we have to first be willing to receive His Word. So what is that first step? Well, of course, it is receiving Him by faith as our Savior. The rest of the Bible does not make any sense or have any real cohesiveness to it until we understand that first truth, that we're all sinners, that Jesus died to save me, and that I must by faith receive Him as my Savior. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? By the Word of God. You know why I need to be in the Bible, and why I need, I'm saved. You know why? When I hear it, it keeps building my faith. And you know what happens oftentimes is somebody who has refused to hear, and they refuse to accept Christ, if they're just willing to listen, suddenly the Lord starts working in their hearts in ways He's never worked before, and then they're confronted with a decision of do I receive this? Do I receive Jesus as my Savior or not? There might be somebody like that in here this morning. You've heard. You're here. I mean, you've already heard some this morning. Maybe this is it. Maybe you're listening on the internet. And you've heard. You've listened. Friend, don't fully listen. Be like the folks that are here that came to Him. I mean, and don't just hear it with your ears, but receive it in your heart. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. The Bible says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You're in a room full of people. Maybe you've not been saved. You've never received Christ as your Savior. You're in a room full of people where folks have done that. And you know what? To a person, they'll give honest testimony that there's no regrets about that decision to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, the only way to build a firm foundation for this life is to start there by receiving Him as your personal Savior. Everything else leads to a house that one day, as the children's song says, will go splat. His words, we must receive His words. Realize we're sinners. Realize Jesus has the message that can save us. Listen to that message. Realize He died for our sins, and by faith, trust Him as our Savior. The second thing that we see out of this passage, not only must we receive His Word, but we must invest in His Word. I like how the Bible is written. I enjoy the imagery of it. I enjoy the fact that the Lord understands that I can't quite get it all, and so He helps me by giving me pictures. And don't look at me like that. You're that way too, all right? There's probably a few in here that you don't need that. I like it. The Bible, when you read it and just read it for what it is in full color. I mean, it's there for you to see. And look at what it says. He's talking about the man that built his life on the rock where his house stood. Look at what it says in verse 48. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep. Now, there's a lot of things in this world I don't understand, but I can understand digging a hole. And I can understand the concept of getting the mushy soil and muddy dirt out of the way, the things that aren't going to support something. And I can understand digging down past all of that to find something solid to anchor into. I can also understand that takes a little bit of work and effort. That it takes something that might hurt the back a little bit, that might exercise the biceps a little bit, that might test our fortitude a little bit, to get down beyond what is unstable and get to that which is firm and solid. A couple years ago, we were working on that soccer field out there, just trying to get it flattened out, smoothed out, and crowned right so water runs. And it's been kind of a work in progress. And then the big portion of it, we had some equipment out there that we were using, and we dug down and we hit this rock. And if you've ever dug a hole in New England, you've hit a rock before. if you're not from the area, which I'm not, I learned this. You drive down the interstate, you see in the woods and stuff, there's some on this property, even all those rock walls that are there. That's what the farmers dug out of the ground when they were trying to get food to grow, and they used that to help divide their property line. I mean, there's rocks everywhere. And usually what happens, you find one, and you get a bar of some sort. Maybe a shovel. If you like to break shovels, you can try a shovel. But you get one, and maybe a big pry bar. Brother Petrie's got one he brings around sometimes. Things about 6 feet tall. And I mean, you get that thing under most rocks, you can pry them out. Well, this rock dug down, you couldn't pry it. There was some running equipment and some of us running shovels. And so we'd find these rocks and try to get them out. We went in and tried to get this rock out, tried to pry it. Wouldn't move. They got an excavator there of some pretty significant size. Started digging down. The rock kept going. And I mean, the rock kept going and going and going. And you know what? The rock's still there. As a matter of fact, we got to a point, the guy just started covering it up. If you go out to where the far sideline would be on the soccer field as it's painted, and you walk about 6 feet over on this quarter of the field, you know what? You're going to see the top of that rock still. Why? Because it's not moving. It was something solid. Now, for years, there's some of you that played soccer on that field when it was still a ski slope, basically, and you were running up and down hills, and you played soccer on that field, and you never once saw that rock. It took effort to get there. But once you got there, you realized, boy, this thing's bigger than we are. And anything anchored to this is not going to move. I mean, all sorts of things could happen on this property, and that rock, is, I'm convinced, is staying there. And you say, here he likens this man who built this house the right way. He said he dig deep. He got in there and he put the effort in to be able to tie a foundation into something that was solid, something that would stand up against all of the things that were going to come against him in life. And it was because he was willing to put an effort and willing to dig deep that God gave him something solid that he could build his life on. Friend, if we're going to build our lives on something that's solid, we got to be willing to invest in a little bit of digging. There's a lot of even born again children of God today that, I mean, it's true in every age. We've got to all battle it, that are 40 miles wide and 4 inches deep. We never take the time to drill down on what the Word of God has to say and anchor ourselves to something solid. You know what? It takes effort. Paul, when he instructed Timothy, not long before Paul would leave the earth and he would die a martyr's death, and Timothy there, and he's trying to prepare Timothy to be able to withstand the things that would come against him. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he said this to him, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Friend, I'm just challenging you here a little bit. What is your plan to study God's word? Say, well, that's what I'm here for, preacher. Give it to me. Like, I like teaching it. I like talking about it. We will always benefit from the preached word. I'm not minimizing that at all. But friend, everybody in here should have a plan for themselves to dig deep into the Word of God. And sometimes you say, well, I don't always understand it. Join the club. Say, you mean you don't always have the answer? Don't always have the answer. But you know what that shows me? When I run into that, I just need to dig a little deeper. Need to keep digging deeper. Dig deeper, dig deeper. Questions of life come up. How should we handle this? Dig deep. Need to have a plan. Need to have a purpose in our Bible study where we're challenging ourselves. And I'm going to get in the Word of God. I'm going to dig into the Word of God. I'm going to find out what God wants me to do from His book. I'm going to hear. I'm going to receive. I'm going to do like this guy did and dig deep and find the rock of the Word of God that never changes, that never moves. The Bible is meant to be studied. You know, one, I'm a Baptist for a lot of reasons, but one reason I'm a Baptist is because as a Baptist, you know what? We want people to read and study the Bible for themselves. This is not of any private interpretation. I don't have some corner on it. Pastor Townsley doesn't have some corner on it. But you know what? If we study it, and we study it, it's the same book, and we study it with the same Holy Spirit, you know what? We're not going to come up with all sorts of different ideas. So we dig deep. We need to invest in it. It's meant to be studied. It takes effort. So I don't understand what that word means. Look it up. I'm just helping you. It's practical. It's how I don't understand that book. Read something about it. Ask questions. Be overwhelmingly curious about what the Bible is trying to say to us. Why? Because that's how we dig deep and find that bedrock to build our life upon. Get help in studying it. Dig deep. Do what is necessary to build a strong foundation. Young people, listen to me. Learn how to study the Bible for yourself now and learn how to craft your life around what you find in this Word. Sometimes the Lord helps us in ways we don't even realize how He was helping us. One of the most helpful things that's helped me to this very day, when I was younger, say 20 years old, before I was in, went to college, and the Lord had already dealt with my heart about preaching, I went through an intense time of just consuming the Bible. And I don't even know what prompted me to do it. But what I know is it helped to dig a well that's deep that you can go back to over and over and over again. And when we do that, we build our lives on what it says. It's something that will withstand the storms. And when we don't, we just kind of surface, go over it. We just kind of treat it like it's a cute thing that we see on the internet every now and then. And we get inspired by a quote here or there. Be careful, because the house goes flat real easy. We must invest in His Word. We must receive His Word. The third thought, we must learn to rest in His Word. Both of these individuals that are described here in this inspired illustration had something happen to them. It's described in different ways, but it's the same thing for both. Verse 48, it says, and when the flood arose, it was going to happen. This guy was smart. He prepared for it. So when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house. Sounds like a strong storm. Verse 49, the other guy, it says of him, it says, he built a house upon the earth against which the stream did beat vehemently. If you look at the Matthew parallel passage to this, it's described this way. The rain descended and the wind blew. I like storms in the principle of them. I don't like it when people get hurt. There's storms that do a lot of damage. I'm not minimizing that. But just storms are impressive within and of themselves. Even yesterday, that rain that came and of course, it wasn't anything catastrophic, but you just get an appreciation in those bursts of energy from the rain and the wind hitting all at once. You get a real appreciation for what can happen in nature. And these men built a house. One considered and understood the fact that the storm would come. The other one just kind of said, I will be all right. But when it came, the outcomes were completely different. And you know what we learned from this? We've got to hear and receive it. That's where it starts. Then we need to dig deep and found ourselves on the rock that is there. But when we have found that rock, we need to learn to rest in it. I've told you before about different reactions. Hurricane Hugo hit South Carolina in the early 90s, and it would tear the roof off my grandparents' house and do damage. And they went and stayed that night with my great grandmother, who they were helping take care of, and their house. It was just that kind of storm, and my grandpa went to sleep. And they were, kind of baffled, my grandma and aunt, and, but he just went to sleep. But you know what? When your house is built on the right thing, even when the storm came, you can still go to sleep. The truth I'm trying to get across, listen, friend, the storm will come. There might be somebody in here this morning, you've found the rock, you've built a life upon it, and you're not perfect, you've not arrived, but you're there and the storm is hitting. It's sunny outside. There's smiling faces around you, but you know there's something going on where the wind's beating vehemently and the stream's rising quickly, and you don't know, what's going to be the outcome. Friend, if your house is built on the rock, learn to rest in what God has said. You can have peace even during the middle of the storm. You don't have to jump up, jump out. By all means, don't jump off the rock. Don't jump out of the boat where Jesus, Pastor mentioned and preached about that last week, about Jesus on the boat in the middle of the storm. By all means, don't jump out of the boat when you know He's right there with you. Learn to rest during that time where the storm beats. For more than 2,000 years, but 2,000 years since it's been completed, you know what? Storms have come. Believers have been beset by vehement winds and raging streams. They've been hit by persecutions, and they've been hit by financial struggles, and they've been hit by emotional struggles, and they've been hit by family turmoil, and they've been hit by all of those things. But you know what? The rock still stands. It's stood the test of time. Its principles have never wavered. Its truths have never been eroded. The rock still stands. I'm convinced that rock out there that I told you about, if the Lord tarries His coming, long after all of us in here are gone and others are filling these pews and preaching from these pulpits, that rock's still going to be out there. And He uses that to liken it to the Word of God and to those who hear and obey and do His Word. Friend, what's your life built upon this morning? Is it something that would go splat in a quick storm? Or is it something that is weathered and proven? And that happens when we are willing to dig deep in the Word of God and hear and obey and do. In the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, we're told about a great flood that hit the earth. But there was a family that was safe. Why? Because they had built their life, you could say, on the Lord Jesus Christ, as the song says. They had simply heard and they obeyed what God told them to do. Dear Lord, we thank You.